I lift my hands and show full adoration to you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone, and I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone, and I can sing to you this song. And I just want to say that I love you more than anything.
Yes, God.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Hallelujah, Lord.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus.
Yes, God.
I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we love you on this morning, and we worship you on this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's preaching time, so let's get to the word on this morning. Hallelujah. Again, our scripture text for this morning is coming from Numbers chapter 13, verses 26 through 33. Let me read that again for our hearing. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Hallelujah. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the ascendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sights. Amen. Hallelujah. And for my topic on this morning, I want to ask us all this question. What's driving your vision? Amen. What's your vision? Amen. Amen. I pray that we're all still here. My camera's doing a little something weird, but we give God praise. What's driving your vision? And I want to start with my sermon in a sentence. Amen. I want to start with my sermon in the sentence. In order to receive the manifestation of God's promises in your life, you must check what's driving your vision. Amen. Let me say that again. In order to receive the manifestation of God's promises in your life, you must check what's driving your vision. You must check how you see. Why? Because you cannot operate passively in fear, but aggressively in faith. If you don't take away anything else I say on this morning, I need you to get that deep in your spirit. You cannot operate passively in fear, but aggressively in faith. Amen. A shoe salesman was sent to a remote part of the country. When he arrived there, he was dismayed because everyone who went around was barefoot. So he wired the company and said, there are no prospects for sales because everybody doesn't wear shoes. Nobody wears shoes here. Later, another salesman went to the same territory. He too immediately sent word to the home office, but his telegram said this: great potential because the people don't wear shoes here. Look at that. Two people on the same mission to do the same thing. However, they gave two different reports. The first salesman looked at the fact that the people did not wear shoes and said, guess what? We're not going to make any money here. They don't even bother wearing shoes. The other salesman said, oh my God, look at the great opportunity for us to sell shoes here because the people don't wear shoes. I want to ask you on this morning, my brothers and sisters, how are you viewing the issues and circumstances of your life? How are you viewing the opportunities that God has given you? Listen, how you view life under the lens of God's word will determine what you believe and how you move. Let me say that again. How you view life under the lens of God's word will determine what you believe and how you move. Listen, while ungodly fear is a reality of life, it does not have to be a motivating factor of your life. Somebody needs to hear me clearly, so let me say that and slow down a little bit. Let me say that and slow down. Although fear is a reality of life, it does not have to be a motivating factor of life. The Bible is full of scriptures that teach us that the truth that God did not give us the capacity to operate in an ungodly type of fear. Amen. Bear with me one moment. Amen. God did not give us the capacity to operate in an ungodly type of fear, but there is such a thing called, or there is a thing called reverential fear. We are called to have a reverence and an awe that as believers of God, we should possess in order to live a life pleasing to God. It is that reverential fear that should drive us in our daily journey. Hear me clearly. We cannot allow the fear of life to drive us or to cause us to operate outside of God's will or alignment, but it is the reverential fear and awe of God that should drive us daily. It is this reverential fear or awe of God that should undergird our faith in God and give us the ability to operate in the way God commands, even when what God says does not line up to what we see. I'm trying to calm down on this morning, but we need to know that we have to have faith that we still operate in the way God commands, even when what he has told us, even when what he has said, even when the promises don't line up with what we see. Faith is not predicated on the truth, watch this, of what we see. Faith is not predicated on the truth of what we see. It is predicated on trusting what God has said and what he's already done. Hallelujah. Faith is predicated on trusting what God has said and what he has already done. And if anyone should have been able to live out this principle victoriously, it should have been the children of Israel. The children of Israel should have been a prime example of what it means to walk and operate in faith because of what God said and because of what God has already done. Listen, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, when God delivered them for 400 years, when God had delivered them from the 400 years of slavery and brought them out, they should have came out of that. The way God delivered them, they should have came out with so much joy and appreciation and gratefulness and awe of God. He sent plagues. You know, he turned the river into blood. He destroyed Pharaoh and all those that were chasing them in the middle of a sea. God opened up a sea to let them cross over on dry land. And once the last person got onto the land that he delivered them from, he let the waters come in and close down on Pharaoh. The children of Israel should have had a reverential fear and a reverential awe of God that they believed everything that came out of the word, out of the mouth of God. But look what happened. When they got to freedom, when they got to freedom, they started complaining. They said, "You brought us out here to die? Where's the food? How are we supposed to eat? How are we supposed to take care of our families? We don't have no food. It would have been better for us to be in Egypt." Go back to chapters 10, 11, 12. They were like, "Look, it would have been better for us to stay in Egypt and have the good of the land, the leeks, the food, the meat. You got us out here with what? Are you kidding me?" So what does God do? Even though they complained, God gave them manna. He provided food for them that fell from the heavens every single day. They had manna. So they went from complaining about, "We don't have no food," to now we got food every single day. And now they're like, "Listen, that's not good enough. Now we want some meat. This bread ain't enough. I'm not trying to be no vegan out here in the wilderness, Jesus. You need to give us some meat, God." So what does God do? God prevailed quail for them. And then they still complain. Have you ever been in a place where every time you needed something God provided, and then you got just satisfied with what he provided, so you started complaining and asking for more, and he provided that too, and yet you're complaining about that? God is saying, "Listen, stop looking or stop complaining about what you want next or what you don't have now, and appreciate what I've already given you," right? everything that they wanted in the wilderness, God gave them, but they kept complaining. And God said, listen, you know what? I have promised you that I'm going to deliver you to the promised land. It's going to be flowing with milk and honey. And so I want you to go in and possess the land. And they had no faith that they could do it. God promised them, I'm going to deliver you to the land flowing with milk and honey and every other resource that you need, and they didn't believe him. And this leads me to my first point. In order to receive the manifestations of God's promises in your life, you have to trust God's perfect will. You have to trust God's perfect will. God promised them this new land. Watch, despite their grumbling and complaining about being in the wilderness. I'm going to say it again. They went from being captives in a foreign land to free people get on their way to their own land, and they kept complaining. Yet, despite their complaints, God still promised to bless them. Somebody needs to know and be reassured. Although you may have complained in the past, God is saying, I'm not going to let you forfeit, or I'm not going to withdraw my promises because of your past complaints. I'm still going to bless you. Watch. But you can't stay in a place of complaining. You have to believe and take God at his word. You have to believe it. At every turn, watch, the people fail to believe God and his word. Every time he delivered them, they complained and got angry about where they were. So much so that God got angry over their faithlessness. And I want to admonish somebody on today. Don't allow yourself to get into a place of grumbling and complaining and charging God for the issues and the situations and circumstances of your life that you do not like. So much so that you cause God to be angry with you. Do not forget what God has already done for you and how he has already delivered you, and allow that forgetfulness of his previous faith and movement in your life cause you to get to a place of grumbling and complaining that God gets angry with you. Woe unto you and I if we allow the minute perspective that we have over our life cause us to anger God. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen, you and I have to know the difference between God's perfect will and God's permissible will. The sending of the spies was not God's perfect will for his people. His perfect will was for them to go in and immediately possess the land. That was his perfect will. He said, go in, possess the land. It's flowing with milk and honey. What you need is going to be there. That was his perfect will. His permissible will allowed them to send spies. When you go over to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we're going to read that real quick, in 19 through 32, I think I might have only put 26 in, 19 through 32, that's what we're going to read. Deuteronomy 1, 19 through 32, it says, this is Moses having a conversation with the children of Israel. The account in Numbers is a historical view of what happened in that time, but in Deuteronomy, we get more of a breakdown because you see Moses having a conversation with the grumbling children of Israel all over again, okay? So in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 19, it says, so we departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God had commanded us. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God, watch, is giving us. Look, the Lord our God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it as the Lord of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us, and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go, and of the cities into which we shall come. The plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one man for each tribe, and they departed and went into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us, and they brought back word to us, saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as men carries his son, and in all the places that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God. The children of Israel were complaining to Moses again. And he's saying, listen, God had already promised us this land. God already told us it was going to be ours. But because of your faith and your disbelief, you didn't want to go in. So you asked me to send spies. And I want to warn some of the Moseses on the line on this morning, some of the leaders, some of those that God has called to have different platforms. Listen, you got to be careful that you don't allow the pressure of people push you into God's presence in the wrong manner. Watch. Don't let the pressure of people push you into God's presence in the wrong manner. Why do I say that? Listen, Moses never asked God if he should send the spies. He never said, God, do you want us to send spies? But he asked, how should we send the spies? And some of us need to know, we cannot allow the disbelief of other people connected to us coming to cause us to do or to ask God the improper question. The proper question should have been, God, should we send spies? Not how should we send spies? And if Moses had had the faith he needed, he wouldn't have had to ask God any questions at all. He should have said to the people, no, we're not going to do that, because God already promised us. He already promised us this land. He's having this conversation with them in Deuteronomy saying, y'all came to me with this disbelief and not believing what the Lord, but don't you remember what God already did? Don't you remember what he did in Egypt? Don't you remember how he took care of us in the wilderness? But hold on, Moses, before you put this thing, before you charge the people with remembering, you should have remembered yourself. You should have said to the people, no, I understand how you feel. I understand the fear you have because of what was said and what you see, but we shall stand and believe in the report of the Lord. So I'm going to speak to the Moseses. When your children, when your spouse, when your family members come and say, I don't think you could do this, I don't think we can attain it, you have to be the one to raise the standard and say, I understand what it looks like, but we have to stand on what God has said. I understand what it looks like, but we got to stand on what God has already done. I understand the fear that you have of moving forward, but we are going to stand. You have to, Moses, stand on a declaration of the word that God has given you. Don't let the pressure of people push you into God's presence in the wrong way. Listen, because doing so will sometimes lead God to give us the answer we seek and not necessarily the answer we need. My God, today, when we come into God's presence asking the wrong questions, he's going to answer the question that we ask, but that's not necessarily the answer that we need. He didn't need to know if and how they should send spies. He needed to know, how are we going to take this land? Now, you said this land was flowing in milk and honey, but you did not say it was giants in the land. So I'm a little confused. How are we going to overcome the giants? But like he told the people, I'm going to fight for you. Don't worry about the obstacles. Let me slow down so I don't get ahead of myself. But don't worry about the obstacles. Remember what I said. How many times have you and I gone to God with the wrong petition, and then we get upset with the outcome? Lord, let me calm down.
We go to God with the wrong questions and the wrong petitions and then get mad when the outcome is exactly what it's supposed to be based off of what we presented to God. You can't get mad at God because of the outcome. You can't get mad because the spies came back and said something the opposite of what God said. You weren't supposed to send the spies in the first place. So now you discouraged, and now you afraid to go and get what God said, and now you mad at God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God is saying to somebody on the line this morning, stop asking other people to validate what he told you to do. Stop waiting for other people to confirm it. Stop waiting for other people to understand it. Stop waiting for other people to see what he told you. He didn't tell them. He told you. He didn't promise. He promised that you were going to lead them. They're not going to understand the vision. They're not going to understand how he's going to do it. So why are you sending them to do the job he told you to do? Ouch and amen. I want somebody to say ouch and amen with me. Hallelujah. We get mad with God because other people come and discourage us. But if you hadn't told them what God told you in the first place, thank you, Jesus, they wouldn't have had no information to use. That's right. Now I see you shaking your head. Thank you. If you hadn't given them information, they wouldn't have had nothing to use. They wouldn't have had nothing to write. Keep your mouth closed. They wouldn't have had nothing to say. God didn't tell you to go and look out the land and see, maybe, if it's what. How foolish would we be if God promised us something and we went to check it out first? God promised them the land and they had so little faith that they said, well, let's go see if he's telling the truth. What? You questioning God? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody needs to know, you need to stop questioning God on what he said. Hallelujah. He's saying this morning, stop questioning me about what I said, but just trust it and do it. Hallelujah. Stop looking, look like being like Gideon. God, if it's you, wet the fleece, dry the fleece, move the fleece, do this, do that. God, if it's you, let the light turn red, all of the super stuff. God, send somebody to confirm the word. God said, because I spoke it, that's all the confirmation you need. You don't need another prophet. You don't need another accountability partner. You need to trust what I said. Thank you, Holy Spirit. First, you got to trust God's perfect will. The second, you have to trust his provisions over your obstacles. You have to trust God's provisions over your obstacles. These 12 spies were sent to go on a reconnaissance mission. And a reconnaissance mission is a military observation of a region to locate an enemy or ascertain certain features of the land. They were told to go back, to go and bring back a good report about watch the land, meaning the vegetation, the water, the survey of the land. They were only supposed to go determine the nature of the land as well as the strengths and weaknesses of the people that occupy the land. Watch. But they were never told to decide what they could or could not accomplish based on what they saw. Thank you, God. I'm going to say that again. They were told to go and look at the nature of the land and do a survey of the strength of the people. But they were never told to decide whether or not they could or could not accomplish based on what they saw. Instead of believing in the promises at their fingertips, they gave more power to the obstacles ahead. Listen, they allowed fear, watch this, to put them on the wrong side of nevertheless. They allowed fear to put them on the wrong side of nevertheless. When you go back and you read the text, you'll find they carried some of the fruit back from the land. When you look at 26, it says, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation. They brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So they went, they saw the fruit. They brought back witness that the fruit that God told them was there
but they injected their butt into what God has said. Some of us, God has given us vision, dreams, promises. He has told us what to do, and we have even, my God, today, thank you, Holy Spirit, we have even seen the manifestation of what He has promised, but we have made the mistake and the audacity of injecting our own perspective or our own understanding into the presence of what God has said. They brought back fruit as proof. Yep. It's just like God said. Yep. All the resources He said we need was going to be there, but the people, but they bigger than us, but I don't think we have the ability to overcome them. God is saying to some of us, I told you, and I've already let you get a glimpse that what I promised you is right in front of you, but you're looking at everything else except the manifestation of my promise. I've shown you that I'm going to give you the resources, but you sidetracked by this pandemic. I've shown you that you are going to have the things that you need, but you letting this sickness sidetrack you. I've shown you, I've given you a glimpse that the promises that I've given you are about to come to fruition in your life, but you are being sidetracked by the murmuring of other people. I've shown you, hallelujah, the promises. I've given you a glimpse that you are on the precipice of receiving what I promised you, but you're getting sidetracked by closed doors of businesses. That's not your business. God is saying, look at the promises. I've given you a glimpse. Trust the glimpse of what I've given you. Even when your faith has caught, even when your faith is so little that you haven't really believed what He has said, once God gives you a glimpse, oh Jesus, once He gives you a glimpse of what He said is really true, trust the glimpse. I don't know who that's for, but somebody needs to trust the glimpse. Somebody needs to get off of the wrong side of nevertheless. We have to have a nevertheless that tells us, yes, I see the promises, and yes, I see the obstacles, but nevertheless, I'm going to trust the promise over the obstacles. I'm going to trust what God said over what I see. I'm going to trust the fact that He said, I am the head and not the tail if I obey His commandments. I'm going to trust that He said, I am healed, and I shall accomplish everything that He purposed me to accomplish despite what I see in this doctor's report. I know what God said to me about my family. I know what God said to me about my business. I know what God said to me about my future. So I'm going to believe it despite the climate of this country, despite the climate of my resources, despite what's going on. I'm going to be on the right side of nevertheless. Yeah, it might be giants, but my God said He's going to fight them for me. So nevertheless, I'm going to move forward. My God said that He will make the path straight before me. So nevertheless, it's crooked as it may look right now, I'm going to walk and trust that He's going to make the crooked path straight. Hallelujah. Be on the right side of the nevertheless. Don't be like the children of Israel. Yeah, that's what He said, but the people. Who are these people? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Who are these people? These people don't have no more power over your God. I don't care what it look like. What is this giant in your life? So, yeah, I know it's scary. Yeah, I know it might be a couple of them. Yeah, I know they keep coming back. So, I need somebody to get some spiritual soul in their life, in their spirit. Yeah, I see you, giant, but so, who are you? You don't have no authority over my daddy. What? Fear you? Please. He already said He was going to give it to me. So I don't care how much you come in my presence. I don't care how big you get. I don't care what other recruits you come with. I'm still going to believe the report of the Lord because He promised it to me. I didn't ask Him. Look at this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The children of Israel did not ask God for these promises. These were promises from the heart of God because it's what He desired for them. Woo! So why are you disbelieving? I don't know not one parent that has a desire to do something for their child and tells the child, listen, because I love you so much, this is what I'm going to do for you. And the child is like, really? Now, poor parent, yes, but we don't have a poor parent in God our Father. He is a good, good Father. So he's not going to give us promises that says, this is what I have for you, and then later change his mind. No. And this is how wonderful God is. Even when they were complaining, he still didn't change his mind. God didn't change his mind about you. God didn't change his mind about his promises. God didn't change his mind because somebody walked out. God didn't change his mind because somebody died. God didn't change his mind because you got sick. God didn't change his mind because COVID showed up. God didn't change his mind because of systemic racism. God didn't change his mind, hallelujah, because of sickness. God didn't change his mind about his promises for you. So why are you changing your mind about your own promises? Stop changing your mind about receiving God's promises because of the stuff that should. This stuff don't mean nothing. It don't have no power over God. Yeah, we got to deal with it, but we can't give him more power than our God. You got to believe in God's sovereignty completely. Listen, God knew. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm trying to quit. God knew the obstacles that were going to be in their path. And I got to surmise. God didn't tell them about the obstacles because he didn't want them to be sidetracked by the obstacles. Before you started this journey in life, God knew the obstacles you were going to face. Some of the stuff that we're dealing with might be a surprise to us, might catch us off guard. It didn't catch God off guard. He knew what you was going to deal with. He didn't reveal it to you because he knew in our flesh we might get sidetracked and not keep going. God is saying, you stop because of what you saw, and I need you to keep going because of what I said. Amen. Even after what they saw with the obstacles before them, their faith should have led them again to seek and speak that they had a nevertheless victory and not accept a nevertheless defeat. Somebody under the sound of my voice, thank you, Holy Spirit, you have confessed. It is what it is. I can't do nothing about it. We have accepted defeat, and God has said, no, I've given you victory. Regardless of how it may feel or what we may go through. And we got to be like Jesus in his nevertheless. God, if this cup could pass from me, Jesus felt and saw the obstacle and the weight of the cross. But he said, nevertheless, not my will. God, we say, nevertheless, not our will, but yours be done. Amen. And then my last point, and then we're going to go, amen. Thank you for spending this early morning time with me. First, you got to trust God's perfect will. Second, you got to trust his provisions over your obstacles. And lastly, you got to surround yourself with a few Calebs. Surround yourself with a few Calebs. You know, when I look at this scripture, I realize Caleb doesn't get enough credit when it comes to this story. We always think of the promised land, when we talk about the promised land, and we think about the courage of Joshua, and we skip right over poor Caleb. In verse 30, it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. It wasn't Joshua that told the people, be quiet with all that noise about what you see about them giants. Don't nobody care about them. We can overcome it. It was Caleb that said, we can go in and possess the land. We are well able. Well able. Listen, you are well able to overcome it. But you got a few people, you got a few children of Israel people in your camp. That's like, girl, man, bruh, I see your ambition and the vision, and I know you said what God said, but I don't see it, and I don't think it's going to happen. Oh, you got a glimpse? Oh, God already started opening doors? You sure you're not going to close them doors? We got some people in our lives we got to kick out. Help me, Holy Spirit. You got some people that you got to stop sharing that vision with. I heard Pastor John Hanna say this last night on his live. Regardless of the relationship, everybody you in a relationship, even family, ain't really on your side. Come here, Joseph. Joseph shared his dream with his brothers. His brothers were not on his side. They were like, you the youngest. How you going to rule over us? We not having this is bad enough. You daddy's favorite. He going to give you this coat of many colors. He love on you more than he love on. You don't even got to go on the field and work. Here go Joseph, because he thought and he felt the love towards his brothers, not realizing they didn't return the love. Listen, and I know it hurts, but there's somebody on this line that's been questioning over and over and over, why my family don't support me, why my family this, why my family that. Just because they family don't mean they on your side. And it's okay. It's okay to let them go before they snuff you out. It's okay to let them go before they sell you off. It's okay before they crush their dream, crush your dreams with their disbelief. The people of Israel were on a precipice of receiving the promise that God had gave them, and they were forfeiting it by running their mouth with their disbelief. I need somebody to hear me clearly. Stop running your mouth about your disbelief. Stop telling God what you see, how you feel, what it looked like, and what it seemed like, and tell your obstacles what God has said. Learn to speak the right things, but you got to get some Calebs in your life. We need some Calebs that will tell everything around us to shut up, to tell our obstacles to shut up, to tell our naysayers to shut up, to tell us to shut up. Sometimes we need some people to be like, girl, stop. Yeah, I know what you're going through, but what did God say? Samara, stop telling me how you feel and tell me what God said. What? Stop telling me what it looked like. Stop telling me your problems. What did God say? God didn't say he was going to give it to you free-nilly, that you wasn't going to have to go through some stuff, but he said he was going to bring you through it. We get sidetracked because we can't believe, oh my God, I'm going through this. Oh my God, this is happening. God never said you wasn't going to get it without issue or problems, but he said you was going to get it. Stop thinking that because issues and problems are present in your life that the promises of God have been negated. Thank you, Holy Spirit. His promises haven't been negated because problems showed up. He's trying to show you, walk through the issues and the problems to the promise. Fight past the giants to the promise. Fight past your issues to the promise. Get some Caleb that will say, Tamara, shut up and believe God. Liz, shut up and believe God. Believe what he said. He reminded them, listen, God already assured us we were going to get the land. It wasn't a question. God didn't say, show up to the land, and when you get there, I'm going to see if it's what I want for you. That's not what God said. God said, I'm going to deliver you to the land flowing with milk and honey. Watch. I'm going to deliver you. Meaning on your way, there are going to be some obstacles and issues that you're going to have to go through, but trust that I'm going to deliver you to it until you reach your destination. Somebody needs to know God is delivering you through these problems and situations as you journey to your destination. And I hear you, Holy Spirit. Some of us are not reaching or getting closer to the destination because we don't believe we're going to get delivered. Hallelujah. We don't believe that God is with us. We don't believe that he sees and knows what we're going through. Caleb is the one that reminded them, God already told us it's ours. It's not questionable. Somebody needs to hear me. Stop wondering if what he said is going to come to pass. He gave you the assurance the moment he opened his mouth and said, it's yours. God, the moment he opened his mouth and gave you the promises, he said it was yours. That is all the assurance that you need. And I need somebody to know you are well able to overcome it. Why? Not because of your own strength, not because of your own wisdom, not because of your own understanding. Why? Because of God. You are well able to overcome it because he's already equipped you to overcome it. Hallelujah. You are well able to overcome your situations, your lack, your sickness, your depression, your anxiety, whatever it is that the enemy is using as giants in your life to keep you from getting to your destination. God is saying on this morning, you are well able to overcome it because I am with you and I am leading you and I am guiding you. You can't, we cannot walk passively in faith, but we got to be aggressive in our fear. And I'm almost through. When you walk in fear, you mistakenly give over power to your enemies by perceiving them to be more powerful than the God you serve. My question to the children of Israel and my question to everybody on this line this morning, who told you you look like grasshoppers in their sight? some of us feel like I can't do that. I can't achieve that. I can't have that. I can't. When you read the text, in the end of the text, they say there's giants over there, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. But the text never said they had conversation with these giants. So who told you was a grasshopper? Yeah, you may seem small or diminutive against the obstacle, but who told you was a grasshopper? Who told you were small in their sight? Why are you ascertaining or giving power to the obstacle instead of seeing what God has said? Stop declaring what you are not because of what you feel, and declare who you are because of what God has said. Who told them they were grasshoppers? Just because they were different in size didn't mean they were less than. Help us, Jesus. Just because we're different in skin tone doesn't mean we're less than. Just because you're younger doesn't mean you less than. Just because you might be in a certain socioeconomic status at this moment, it doesn't mean you're less than. Just because you may not have the degrees other people have doesn't mean you're less than. Just because you may not have some things that the world says you need to have in order to accomplish what you desire in life, it doesn't mean that you're less than. Who told you who you were? Why are you believing misinformation? Why are you believing the lies of the enemy? Why are you believing the presence of these giants? Listen, don't give over power to stuff that don't have no power over your God. Amen. You gotta trust in the will of God, in God's perfect will. You gotta trust in his timing. You gotta trust in his provisions over your obstacles. Get you some Caleb that will tell you and everything around you, shut up and believe God. You can overcome it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. You can overcome it. Faith sees the fight for the promise. Fight for your promise. Fight those insecurities. Fight that anger. Fight that depression. Fight the lack. Fight what you see in the natural and trust what God has said in the spirit. You got to trust in the manifestation of the promise. Don't only look at the obstacles. Look at the opportunity. Don't let fear cause you to be focused on the obstacle. Amen. But let faith help you to see them as opportunities. And then you got to trust in the power of God's Holy Spirit. You got to trust that God is leading you, that he is guiding you, that he is providing for you, that he has already made a way of escape. You got to trust that between the proclamation of the promise, hallelujah, and the manifestation of the promise is the promise of God's presence. He will proclaim it. He will lead you to the promise, but you got to trust him in the in-between. So my prayer is that as we are journeying in this in-between space, hallelujah, that you are trusting, despite the obstacles that may come up, despite how the road may shift, despite how things may happen, that you remember the proclamation of the promise. And trust God to take you through the journey to get to the promise. Don't let the issues or the lack or your sickness, whatever it is, don't let insecurities, passwords, words spoken over you, words that you feel, don't let any of these obstacles that the enemy tries to throw in your path keep you from getting to the promise that God has for you. Amen.